will lead with what we'll call the milk index. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Dairy farmers have been opening up the tanks and dumping milk into the gutter or sewer. Demand is down in this shelter-at-home mode, Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
This is really a logistical problem. On the one hand, dairy suppliers typically sell a lot of their products to restaurants and schools, which are now canceling orders and turning delivery trucks away. But meanwhile, the demand for milk and cheese and butter has gone up at grocery stores as people panic buy and, you know, cook most of their meals from home. So you might say just reroute some of the dairy products that were supposed to go to restaurants and send them to grocery stores instead. That is easier said than done. Restaurants typically buy dairy products in bulk, but when you go to the grocery store, you probably aren't going to bring home a 10-pound bag of shredded cheese. And dairy processing plants actually need different machines to package their products in these small quantities that one person or family would want to buy. Also, the industry is struggling to find enough drivers because people don't want to get sick.
Marielle, thank you. The oil producers cartel OPEC has postponed its emergency meeting that had been set for today. The new plan is Thursday. Still elusive is an agreement to cut production. Crude oil is down more than 4% now to just over $27 a barrel, with officials suggesting COVID cases might have reached a plateau in New York and are trending downward in places like Italy and Spain. The stock market is up. The Dow future is up 756 points, 3.6%. London is up 2.1%. Now let's talk about the COVID economy and those young innovative companies called startups. While many are quickly pivoting their expertise to ventures that'll help with this pandemic mess, startups have always been risky. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing okay, David.
Let's talk about these startup companies. They're generally in a pickle given what's going on with this virus.
Yeah, you know, they're in a, probably the worst shape because they don't have the resources big companies have. Big companies have all kinds of cash on hand, and they have lines of credit, which are commitments by banks to send them money. Little companies always are living on the edge of near bankruptcy. So this is very, very tough on them.
Can we look at history for a sense of where things may be going for some startups now?
Yes, we can. And here's what we'll see. We'll see that companies will cope. They'll cope by slowing down what they can slow down. Maybe they'll cut down the scope. And instead of trying to develop two products, they'll try to develop one product. What they're going to try to do is get their cash flow under control. That is, get control of the amount of cash that goes out the door every week because they're not going to have cash coming in.
Mm. Now, I mean, if you're a startup, you're not going to get bailout money directly, right? It's not how it works.
No, I mean, the airlines will have no trouble getting their $50 billion. The company that needs $100,000 probably isn't going to get it.
I mean, part of the difficulty here is that if you're a startup, that implies it's a risky venture, and we've just run into a whole lot of uncertainty and risk.
You know, we forget about that side of risk. We talk about risk as if it's some hypothetical thing and it won't happen. But it does happen and it's happening now. And small companies and a lot of us are getting a lesson in risk is real.
I mean, it's a shame at many levels, the human level certainly, but also we're going to lose some innovation here.
That's the sad part. We won't know what we'll have lost from these small innovative companies. And some of the companies are working on drug development.
All right. Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Like so much of the country, people are being fervently urged to stay home in Nashville. This is also the city hit by a terrible tornado March 3rd. There's a lot to Nashville, but music is key to that city's identity, and for now, we're not hearing that in public. Colleen Phelps from WPLN reports.
Mercy Bell was tending bar at Rosemary and Beauty Queen in Nashville's Five Points when, with only a minute's warning, she had to shelter from a tornado. Then she stepped outside and saw the aftermath.
It was like Hollywood, like a set that you'd build to show the end of the world or bombing or a disaster movie.
The bar where she worked cut back hours because of the neighborhood's destruction. But Belle was looking forward to things turning around. As a singer-songwriter, she recently left a desk job to pursue music full-time. And she was scheduled to share her work with influential audiences at South by Southwest. But that was canceled due to COVID-19.
It was going to be this industry hotbed of networking.
Now the bar where she works closed its doors because of the virus, too. While the city has come together remarkably quickly to support those who suffered tornado damage, there's not much anyone can do about concert cancellations. Dave Pomeroy is the president of the local musicians union chapter. His primary concern was musicians staying healthy during this time, but he has a realistic view of the economic impact.
There's going to be millions of dollars that could have gone into our local economy, much of which would go to musicians. That's just not going to be there.
The music industry in the Nashville area is worth about $9.7 billion a year. It includes roadies, lighting designers, stagehands, photographers, and as shows get canceled, they don't get paid. But people in this community support each other.
When we go through these hard times in our city, we have always come together.
Some musicians are hoping to make up lost income with online concerts for donations, though others are sharing performances just for morale. After all, the musicians are isolated too. But for Nashville's music economy to truly recover, once the show can go on, it must. In Nashville, I'm Colleen Phelps for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. All this is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.